Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today with another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to you joining us for this half-hour journey through the issue of the day. May I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's having a biblical worldview where we look at the Word of God for the answers and directions for life. We look at the Word of God for solutions to the issues. Some call them problems that you're faced with each day. But as we do so in the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're finding that more and more relevant today, because when you speak on truth without following denominational dogma or some ideological philosophy, you find those that will repel and reject and refuse to listen to truth. But we face issues, and we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can join in this dialogue and discussion today, and it's going to be a fast-paced, deep and wide, absolute, frightening, if you think on it, issue that we're faced with. It is frightening if you do not know the Word of God. It's frightening if you're not saved. It will be frightening if you have not said yes to Jesus Christ. But it's an issue that I believe we need to talk about and face today. You can call us at 831-0917, 831-0917. Anytime as we get into the dialogue and discussion on this issue today. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about global governance, and no place to hide, no place to hide. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard the latest Facebook announcement, but Facebook just announced that it would start providing cryptocurrency. Perhaps you've not heard that term before. Perhaps you said, "Well, what in the world is cryptocurrency?" This technology, ladies and gentlemen, is already available through online currency known as Bitcoin, and there are several others that utilize that same approach. It is a coinage. It is a currency that's not in literal form. It does not exist in anybody's pocket or purse. It is only electronic money, if you will. Facebook has about 2.5 billion users today worldwide. But ladies and gentlemen, this kind of currency is extremely dangerous. It is controlled solely by those who control the technology and the technological system that controls it. It can be turned on or it can be turned off, or if you have been put on the Facebook jail list, been put in Facebook jail, perhaps you'll be cut off from your cryptocurrency and you'll not be able to buy or sell. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read you a couple of headlines and our articles that sets the pace for this broadcast today. Headline says, "Facebook's cryptocurrency could be a $19 billion revenue opportunity, according to Barclay Finance." Here's another headline, "Facebook currency to be governed by Swiss-based elites." Let me read you a word or two from this. "Unlike the decentralized Bitcoin, the new cryptocurrency announced Tuesday by Facebook will be governed by a select group of people based in Switzerland. Facebook said it chose Switzerland because the country has a history of global neutrality and openness to blockchain technology, and the association strives to be a neutral international institution, hence the choice to be registered in Switzerland." Further, the article says, Breitbart pointed out that in contrast, Bitcoin decentralized system means that no governing body can choose to increase or decrease the supply of currency, and no bank can prevent the individual from owning, sending, receiving, or having Bitcoins. The same is true, ladies and gentlemen, with what Facebook is about to do. This article says, why does Bitcoin have any value? Now, we're using Bitcoin as a comparison because it is cryptocurrency, and that's what Facebook's just announced, that they're going to put on their Facebook so that you can buy, sell, trade, et cetera, with electronic currency. That is, without one coin in your pocket, without one bill in your wallet, but it's available. Why do Bitcoins have value? Bitcoins have value because they are useful as a form of money. In the case of Bitcoin, this can be measured by its growing base of users, merchants, and startups. As with all currency, Bitcoin's value comes only and directly from the people willing to accept them as payments. Hear what I'm saying? If you trickle down to the bottom line of it, Bitcoin, as well as now the cryptocurrency that's being introduced by Facebook, is simply a bartering exchange. It's an IOU, if you please, where you can have your wallet filled with IOUs and someone else says, well, I'll take your IOUs from my cow, and you can do the exchange. That is what Bitcoin, and that's exactly what cryptocurrency is about. This article says, what is Bitcoin and how does Bitcoin work? Physical Bitcoins are a bit of a novelty. Bitcoin, often described as cryptocurrency, a virtual currency, or a digital currency, is a type of money that is completely virtual. It's like an online version of cash. You can use it to buy products or services, but not many shops accept Bitcoin, yet, and some countries have even banned it altogether. Each Bitcoin is basically a computer file, which is stored in a digital wallet on a smartphone or computer. People can send Bitcoins, or a part of one, to a digital wallet, and you can send Bitcoins to other people. Here's the point. Every single transaction is recorded in a public list called the blockchain. This makes it possible to trace the history of all cryptocurrency transactions, and they can stop people from spending at will, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go into great detail in relationship to what we're speaking of now and the dangers of what Facebook is about to introduce or have already introduced. And the ultimate thing that it points to in biblical prophecy, and we'll talk about that in a minute, of what is actually taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, the reality is that we're talking about the Bitcoin being in the total control of the one that controls the technology. It is a kind of currency that is extremely dangerous, I believe. It is controlled solely and only by those who control the technological system that will be allowing it to be used as an exchange. And in the case with Facebook, it's out of Switzerland. Keep in mind, this kind of currency, just like Bitcoin, have no currency value. Its value is up or down, determined on the number of users. It is simply a barter system, as I said a moment ago. Our world is rapidly heading for a cashless, high-tech, governmentally controlled, borderless society with a one-world global governance system with no place to hide. One writer stated, this is the way that the one-world government will be. One writer said it this way, is one-world currency only a click away? And here's the article. For many people today, online shopping is the way to go. You don't have to fight traffic on the roads or wait in long lines. There's no crowded aisles, and the stores never close. You can turn on your computer, sit down, relax, and shop at your leisure. You can buy just about anything you want online these days, including books, clothing, electronics, even groceries. That's right. You can do grocery shopping online, and the supermarket will deliver your item directly to your doorstep within 24 hours. Technology is changing the way we do almost everything. It's even daring to change the currency we use and how we use it and what we do with it. Ladies and gentlemen, one writer says we're entering into a cashless society, And I believe that's exactly where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen, in this society in which we're living. That stage is being set now for the ultimate event of the rapture of the church, and then the man of sin, the Antichrist, stepping on the scene, being in control. We'll talk about that and what the Bible says in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, this writer that says the cashless society, the foundation for the mark of the beast is being laid, even as you read these words. The precursor to the seven-headed, ten-horned empire that will spawn the Antichrist and the mark of the beast is actually busy developing the means to implement the final global economic system even before the Antichrist is ever revealed. I couldn't have said it better myself. We're watching the stage being set. We're watching the actors being put in place. We're watching the chairs being placed on the stage for the event of the rapture of the church and the Antichrist stepping on the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason you need my book, the one that was published here several months ago, The Coming Antichrist. It's 144 pages. It is seven chapters, and it is perhaps one of the most, if you please, fully developed outlines in any biblical print, any biblical book, any printed book today that talks about the Antichrist and who he is, and does not call a name, by the way, but who he is and what he does. The prophecy of the Antichrist is revealed. His coming is predicted. His commencement is pictured. His control is presented. He has complete wisdom and wickedness. He has complete power and strength, complete authority, complete opposition to the Christian system of that era. And I could go on and on and on. That book is The Coming Antichrist. You need it in your hands. You need to be aware of what's taking place in the stage being set today for the Antichrist. You can order that by going to our campus bookstore, conservative.edu, finding the book, and then placing your order. You can do so by calling the church office or the university office, 262-7777, and place your order. It's a very inexpensive book. It's about $16.99. It's The Coming Antichrist, seven chapters, 144 pages, that's revealing text, revealing words that I believe you need to be aware of. Before we take our caller, we've got a caller on the line. Before we take that call, let me read you a verse or two from Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound of the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that which is many that would not worship the image, that the beast should be killed. And then in verse 16 and 17, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might be able to buy or sell, save or accept that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about the 666. Many are curious about that. And that is the mark. That is the, I call it, the chip that will be inserted in the hand or the head, and that will be the identifying mark that you'll be able to buy or sell or trade. We're watching that come to place, ladies and gentlemen, today with the globalization of the cashless society, with the globalization of cryptocurrency, where it can be controlled by a single keystroke on the computer, where a person can step on the scene called the Antichrist. By the way, in the biblical text, the Antichrist is called the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the lawless one, the little horn of Daniel 7, the beast, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil and Satan, and the Antichrist. That's the 10 different identifications of the Antichrist throughout the scripture. And it's absolutely, should absolutely be frightening to those that have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
It's interesting to see the coming together of so many aspects that point to what the Antichrist will be doing in the last days. You bring into the discussion macroeconomics and macro technology. Google today is working with countries. I think they have a subsidiary now that's doing this, working with China to basically track every single person, score every single person. If that person happens to say something against their government that is not liked, well, their score drops. And if their score drops to a certain level, they're cut off.
That's right. It's what's called Greg is what's called, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg, one of our four sons. I'm delighted he can join us by telephone today to have this dialogue and discussion about this very, very serious issue that we're talking about. Greg, what you're talking about is they will offer them social credits or social scores for what they're doing if they're following the orders of the Chinese government, and it's the facial recognition system that's been included there. In every aspect of every human being's life in China, they're being watched today. They're assigned a number, and that number then is being traced and followed, and they're arresting people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. In fact, over 500,000 people are viewed via their camera system every day in China. So it is a watch society. It is a governmentally controlled society.
It's tracking their movements online as well as their physical movements.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, we just had huge protest in Hong Kong. Their concern was with the piece of legislation that was pending that a warrant could be issued from mainland China and a person extradited from Hong Kong to mainland China on a whim, and then they would be tried in communist mainland China. And the people in Hong Kong realize how dangerous this is. Literally, the protest was larger than anything Hong Kong has ever seen because they know how dangerous this is. But then from a macroeconomic standpoint, you touched on cryptocurrencies and Libra. LIBRA Libra hits the first quarter of next year is the anticipation with Facebook. Currently, you have a whole plethora of different cryptocurrencies, number one being Bitcoin. Bitcoin takes up right now somewhere 75 or 80% of the market if you're looking at market capitalization. Ethereum being second place, probably 10 to 15%. I think 14% was the last number I looked at. But the aggregate of all of them, still your market capitalization is only the, you know, $12 or $15 billion. A company steps in like Facebook. Now, Facebook has several partner businesses that have each one paid $8 million up front to be a partner business in basically in the distribution and the banking. Basically, it'll be a banking system, digital banking system that is being established. But Facebook is an 800-pound gorilla. You know, this is a company that's worth over $500 billion based on today's market capitalization, trading at $184, $186 a share. Facebook is a mega industry, a mega business. When Libra hits, there is a high likelihood that it dwarfs any cryptocurrency or the amalgamation, the total market capitalization of all the other cryptos on the market currently. And they're Facebook is international. They're reaching into virtually every single home in the world in some form or fashion or another. I mean, just about you can rarely name a household where at least one member is not on the Facebook platform. Now, Facebook already monitors everything you're doing virtually online. Now, this will touch another element. They'll be able to monitor. It'll be almost a force play. If you want to do business online, you're going to have to do business with a digital currency. Everybody's not going to be sending dollar bills back into. And let me touch one other aspect.
That's where it's headed now. You touched on that. You've got Bitcoin. You've got PayTag. You've got PinGet, P-I-N-G-E-G-I-T. And then you've got the Google Wallet. All of them are based on the currency, the cryptocurrency. Greg, let me read this article, and you can respond. We've got another caller on the line that we'll both have dialogue and discussion with them. But this article says, digital cash, precursor to the mark of the beast. They call it electronic money or e-money, but usually digital cash. It's a intangible money that exists only in the entries in the bank records and the minds of the user. There are several electronic payment systems out there with cute names such as Bitcoin, PayTag, PinGet, and Google Wallet. This is what makes the cashless system in Ecuador so significant to biblical prophecy. In Ecuador, they have this for the total system, and it's totally 100% governmentally controlled, end quote. And that's where we are headed today on a global basis, and especially, as you said, with the 800-pound gorilla in the room being Facebook getting involved in the cryptocurrency. I believe we have another call on the line. Go over with your question and comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, you and I need to get together. I am 100% convinced that Emmanuel Macron is the Antichrist. I know that for sure. And I also know that he just got together with Facebook They had a big meeting over there, so maybe things are starting to cook over there. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you so much for your dialogue and discussion. You're entering into this conversation today. And my book, I identify the character, the characteristics, and the control factor of the Antichrist. I avoided calling a name, but when you go to Daniel chapter 11, you find that the Antichrist must meet the same criteria as Antiochus Epiphanes, as you find outlined in Daniel chapter 11, verses 1 through 30. And then verse 31 through 46 outlines and describes for us the character, the characteristic of the Antichrist that will step on the scene. And we find that he will be in total control. And what we're watching is exactly what we're talking about today, is the fact that we're seeing the stage being set, the scene being put in place, and ready for the Antichrist to step on the scene. Greg, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church takes place, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. And based on what we're seeing today, all of the technology is being put in place. All of the apparatuses are being put in place. All of the technological features that control humanity and whether they can buy, sell, eat, or trade are all being put in place. In fact, when you look at Revelation chapter 13, if the person does not have the mark on the head or the hand, and I've said for many, many years, it's talking about the microchip, and that chip, if you do not have the identifying mark of the Antichrist, you cannot buy a home, you cannot trade, you cannot rent, you cannot own an automobile, you cannot travel, you cannot do anything without that identification that says that you're in favor of and in fellowship of the Antichrist. What do you say to that? What else can we say to our listeners today that will cause us to be alert and recognize what we're seeing and the culmination of these events before the rapture of the church?
Well, you know, right now, again, looking at, you know, things from a worldwide, a macroeconomic position, the U.S. dollar has been so revered for time and going back for many, many decades. Essentially, it's reserve currency to the world. If any of the OPEC nations sell oil, they have to sell them in sell their oil in U.S. dollars. That's a petrodollar thing. Look the term up, petrodollar. You start doing the homework, and it really explains a lot of why the United States has been involved in the Middle East for decades. When we left the gold standard, really the petrodollar took over. That's another discussion for another day. However, the United States today sits $22 trillion in debt. Our debt is growing exponentially. I mean, it's so growing so quickly, not just online debt, but offline. The unfunded liabilities, some predict or project them to be over $100 trillion. These things are not sustainable. The U.S. dollar will collapse. Truly, for the Antichrist to have the power that we see in the scripture, a digital currency or digital currencies will be in place that will be able to be controlled. I mean, think about it. If you take your dollar and go down and buy something, that's you meeting with Joe, you meeting with whoever, and you buy a product, you pick up the product, you give them your currency. Well, that's not able to be controlled by the Antichrist. But if it's digital, if it's online, we know today that digitally, if you're not in harmony with YouTube's thinking, you may be deplatformed. You may be defunded, demonetized. You know, if you're
put
not
in Facebook
in agreement
jail,
with,
if you will.
Right. And I've been in Facebook jail over and over. If you say something they don't like, all of a sudden you find yourself unable to communicate. Well, hold on a second. This is very much the same kind of power, the same kind of control that we see the Antichrist will have. And by the way, on the you and I have discussed this before with the mark on the forehead or the mark on the hand. I really think there's a high likelihood that'll be biometric, because today we're putting our hands into machines that scan our palms and all the little ridges, every little detail, and literally it's a unique identifier. Or they do a retinal scan where you push your forehead up against a machine and it scans your retina to identify you as an individual, because we have a unique retinas. And truly what I think John saw in that vision was perhaps individuals placing their hands into machines or placing their foreheads up against machines. And, you know, his explanation of this, a mark. Well, yes, it is a distinguishing mark. Your retina is a distinguishing mark. It identifies you as a unique individual. So you don't have to implant necessarily. Right.
It's an identifier completely. Absolutely. We have another caller on the line. Hold on if you would a minute, Greg, as we listen to the other caller. If you would, go ahead with the call or question or comment, please.
Good morning, everyone. I'm enjoying this thoroughly. However, just one area I want to have concern for. In the 80s, you know, folks, even good fundamental expositors were right, trying to identify the Antichrist, we should be very cautious saying this individual or that is the Antichrist or the false prophet. The church comprised of Jew and Gentile most likely will be caught up before we know anything. And I'm just offering a word of caution. One of the callers mentioned Macron, definitely. And that raised a red flag in my mind immediately. Thanks. I'll hang up.
Thank you so much for your comment. You're exactly right. This is the reason I really am very, very careful in anything I preach, teach, or say, anything I publish in my books in relationship to calling a name. You know, since A.D. 70, back at that era, some said it was Nero, who was the Antichrist. As late as the William Jefferson Clinton presidency, some said it was Bill Clinton, that he was the Antichrist. Some even as late as Obama said that he was the coming Antichrist. I've avoided all of those. In fact, Kissinger, there were books written, K-I-S-S-I-N-G-E-R, and a number assigned to each of the letters in the name Kissinger that came up with the 666, that Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, was the Antichrist. All of that is absolutely fallacious, and I believe that we are in error, as you said, if we call a name. I'm not going to call a name. Now, I can tell you that there's some folks in the marketplace today on a global level that's on a global platform that meet the characteristics of that, but that does not mean that they're necessary to the Antichrist. So you're exactly right, and I accept that statement very, very clearly and carefully, because I want our listeners to understand I'm not naming a name, not calling a person, but I am sounding the warning bell that based on what is happening today, all of these things coming together is a good portend to what is going to happen when the Antichrist steps on the scene, and he'll have all of this technology in his hands that will control every human being on the face of God's green earth. Greg, go ahead with your comment, please.
You know, to me, so many of these aspects, the technology coming on the scene, you know, when we step back in time to satellite communications, when they first came on the scene, and satellite networks were literally something could be taking place in Tel Aviv, and here we are in the United States, halfway around the world, and we're watching it take place live. That was one of the signs to me. Yeah, we're in those days. We're leading up to the last days, because truly the prophetic text can be fulfilled in total. There are some things that I'm still looking for, because I think in that Matthew 24 text, and the Jesus telling his disciples that, look for the abomination of desolation. That was something that took place in history, but he's projecting and talks about it in a future tense. So we're going to see an abomination of desolation take place, and the sacrifice and oblation in the temple must cease. Well, you go, hold on a second. That today can't take place because we don't have a temple in place, but we have those in Israel today that are ready. They're prepared to rebuild the temple.
Yes, it's called the Temple Mount Movement. They're ready to rebuild, and they say they've got the blueprints, the plans, the specifications. All the garments have been developed. All the utensils and all of the materials for the temple have been developed. You look at Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46, and you find the absolute blueprint that's given to right down to the every square inch of how it's to be designed, and they already have that ready, and so they can do it in 24 months. And so when we see them break ground for a temple to be rebuilt, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, according to Luke 21:28. Go ahead, Greg.
It is an exciting time to live when you see all the pieces coming together. But from a Christian standpoint, and we should be looking up, lifting up our head for our redemption draweth nigh, but we ought to go into those fields that are wide into harvest. That great commission is still as alive and well today as it was when Jesus spoke the words. To me, I believe the church has failed woefully. So many times we focus on what's going on inside the four walls of our church, and we forget about all the lost souls out there that are destined to an eternity apart from Jesus Christ. And every single one of them, as I spoke with Terry Chupp years ago, I wondered how in the world, what drove him so much. That man would witness to a person behind him in a line at the grocery store, in front of him in line, and to the clerk as well. I said, Brother Terry, what drives you, what compels you with such force that every single opportunity, you take that opportunity to share Christ? He says, Greg, I look at a person, I see their eyes, and I see their eyes behind a blanket, the flames of hell. He says, I can't bear that. He says, you know, I, with the love for that individual, compassion for that individual, I cannot bear to see them potentially die and go to hell and be without Jesus Christ. So he shares every moment he has. And realize this is, again, an exciting time to live, but Christians ought to be steadily about the task. You know, sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. And for every pastor that's listening, for every teacher that's listening, my goodness, we ought to be watchmen on the wall. When we see these things, it should excite us, it should compel us, it should drive us to both, you know, share the gospel and sound the warning of what's going on in the culture around us, and the warning of what's to come if we fail to share and individuals fail to come to know Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. We need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. We need to be ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and impact lives for eternity. Hey, Greg, it's a delight to have you with us today on this broadcast. We've got about 15 seconds. If you would wrap us up as we go off the air today.
We're going to keep repeating that voice. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.